lot of people say that they don't like creating content, and it's because the content they try to create, they're talking direct to a camera, and it sucks.
Hey, Logan Forsyth is the co-founder and co-CEO of Media Scaling.
My recommendation for people who are more so just getting started is mock podcast is really enjoyable. You can do it with a friend or a team member who you already have a great relationship with and good rapport with. If you schedule a 2-hour mock podcast and you prep 50 to 75 questions, usually you can get somewhere in the arena of like 70 to 100 clips out of 2 hours.
Tribe listeners, I have an extremely exciting announcement for all of you. Do you want to come hang out with Cody Sanchez, David Osborne, David Green, Rich Roll, and even yours truly down in Austin, Texas? Well, let's do it. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, for the first time ever, GoBundance, the exclusive millionaire membership group, is opening up an event to anyone, man, woman, millionaire or not, and we're calling it the Austin Entrepreneurial Summit. At the AES, you'll meet all those people I mentioned, plus GoBundance members on both the men's and women's side, and I'll be there hanging out the entire time. Every event I've ever attended for GoBundance has given me a disproportionate return on the money spent and the time spent to get there. And this is the biggest one that GoBundance has ever done. So if you're a member, not a member, and you're looking to supercharge the second part of your year 2024, this event in May is a great way to get that all kickstarted. Go to GoBundance.com/AES right now for early bird pricing for members and guests. And warning, the power of GoBundance events is that it holds you accountable long after you're gone to achieving whatever goals you've set. So this event will change your life. GoBundance.com/AES. I'll see you there. Let's get back to the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tribe of Millionaires podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Gruber. And today we're going to dive deep on a topic that's been popping up more and more recently. And that is building and scaling brand, media, long form, short form, podcast, all of these different terms. So many people have been talking about wanting to get into this space and seeing the business case for it. And our guest today, Logan Forsyth, is the co-founder and co-CEO of Media Scaling, which has generated, I'm going to guess this is a bigger number now, over 2.5 billion organic views on socials for many top brands. We're going to go deep on all these topics with him. Logan, man, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jamie. Very excited to be here.
Did I get it right, 2.5 billion, or are you more than that now?
We are getting fast. So this is being recorded in February of 2024. Last month in January, we generated 293 million views across our client accounts. And the company goal and mission is to be at 1 billion views per month by June of this year. We have some amazing clients in the pipeline that we're going to be launching with soon to where I think it's very achievable. And this is a system that over time, it does grow and exponentially just snowball. And with a lot of our clients on our top level packages, somewhere between month 3 to month 6, we can get it to where we're doing over 100 million views per month per client. And so that's, you know, really like the top lever that's pulling and generating a ton of these views. But we help people of all sizes, from just getting started with content creation and building their brand on socials, all the way to they've been doing this for 15 years, have millions of followers, and they're just looking for that gear to get them to the next level.
What do views do for a brand? Why is that the metric to focus on?
Yeah, views are eyeballs. Views is more awareness, more reach, just more people seeing who you are, what you do, what you talk about, what is your expertise, your brand. And so that's really step one of everything, right? It's top of funnel. And so we have our guarantee tied and built around it, because it's not a lead measure in the sense that we can't exactly control views. What we can control is the quality of the edits we create, the amount that we post, the amount of counts that we manage and create across platforms. And we have enough data at this point to know, okay, if we go in and we post this many times in this vertical of a market and it's being talked about with these topics and we have this many accounts we're managing, we can project that we're going to generate at least this many views, right? And so views is close enough as a lead measure and as part of the packages that we roll out. And then from there, we still help with people of everything that happens after the view, right? We don't want this to just be vanity metrics. We also want to help and have a wealth of knowledge and experience with their own selves doing multiple 8 figures in online sales. And then all of our clients, or not all, but most of them on the higher tier done for you packages are doing multiple 7, if not 8, some 9 figures in online sales as well. And we know how they do what they do. So we get to learn a lot through some of the top brands in the space and what works really well for them. So we help with the strategy and the consultation side of everything that happens after the view with their clients and how to turn this into actual results, more leads, more sales, and drive more results for your business and your brand as well.
If you're a brand that's starting, you have a business, you want to promote that business, or you're starting a podcast or whatever, what is a more actionable, valuable place to spend your time? Is it short form content or long form content if you're going to start someplace?
Yeah, so you can mix them together. It really depends on what is your goal as well, right? Like, are you a content creator and what type of content are you going to create? Are you doing streaming or are you a business owner and you just want to create more awareness for your business? Do you have an online service or are you brick and mortar? Like, there's factors that weigh into it. But in this case, especially with GoBundance and everyone's business owners for the most part, what I've found is a lot of people say that they don't like creating content. And it's because the content they try to create, they're talking direct to a camera and it sucks. Like, I don't know anyone who really enjoys talking directly to a camera. It's something that you have to learn to enjoy and a skill that you build up over time. But especially if you're just getting started, talk to a person instead with your content. And so a lot of the time when we are working with business owners who are new to this or they haven't been doing it for a long time, what I find is the most enjoyable way to create content and show yourself as an expert and get your brand awareness out there, but still enjoy the process and feel comfortable doing it when you haven't, you know, been behind the camera for a lot of reps and a lot of time, is a mock podcast is what I call it. And so you can, with a team member, just set up a podcast and prep all these questions. So you can prep beforehand 50 questions, 70 questions, however many that you want to do. And then my recommendation is bucket 2 hours in your calendar, right? So you're batching this and then have a team member. I do it with my executive assistant and we'll hop on riverside.fm. This is an important side note. Production quality is important when it comes to creating highly effective content that's going to get more reach for your brand. So when I say production quality, you need a good video, you need good lighting, you need good audio. If you're doing this on Zoom, it's not recommended. Zoom taps out your quality at 720p. So there are softwares like Zencast, like Riverside, like OBS software that allows you to do these digital recordings and digital calls, but you can still do it in 1080p or 4K footage, have top quality audio. So that way the production side is still there for your content when your team is taking it and repurposing it for clips for your socials. But to answer your question, my recommendation for people who are more so just getting started is mock podcast is really enjoyable. You can do it with a friend or a team member who you already have a great relationship with and good rapport with, and they know your business. So you can dive deep on different answers and just your expertise, right? And then if you schedule a 2-hour mock podcast and you prep 50 to 75 questions, that turns into more than it's usually you can get somewhere in the arena of like 70 to 100 clips out of 2 hours. That turns into short form content. You do that once per month, a 2-hour mock podcast, and now you have enough content to where if you post 3 times per day across socials, that's 90 videos per month, right? You just got 90 videos per month worth of content in 2 hours. And now you can post 3 times per day across all socials. You want to be omnipresent because short form content is effective on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So you should post 3 times per day across all 7 platforms. Now you're omnipresent. That's 21 posts a day, 630 posts a month. So you're omnipresent. You're posting 630 pieces of short form content per month. It's top quality. It is, you're comfortable with it and you're talking to someone who you have a relationship with and you're really showcasing your expertise. And when you do that, you're now already in the top 0.01% of online brands and content creators. And now time is your biggest asset. Just keep doing that sustainably and consistently, and you'll be shocked of what can happen even in a 3 to 6 month time frame. And then just zoom out 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, like watch what happens. You will become an industry leader. You will become one of the largest, if not the largest players in your vertical and in your space on socials, because no one else is doing this. And I think the biggest objection with business owners is they feel like they're too busy. It's like, I promise you, you have 2 hours a month that you can schedule out for this. They feel like they don't know what to talk about. It's like, look at what do your clients ask you? What do your customers ask you? What are objections that your sales team gets? Like, look at the comments on your socials. Like, just it's out there. You know what to talk about. Just have your team, if anything, like ask questions that they don't fully know from you, and it would be helpful for your team also. And map that out. And the other objection is they just don't have the systems in place. They don't like to edit, or they don't do the distribution. If you're a business owner, you should focus in on being the face and being in the content at the start. Or if you have someone who's charismatic and you don't want to be in any content, like you can designate this to a team member or to a face for your brand as well. That's another route you can take. And with that said, you should do the filming, but you should not do editing and you should not do the distribution, meaning like managing the accounts and posting the content. Those are incredibly cost-effective and honestly cheap to outsource when you have the right systems. And it's just not a good use of your time. and you are going to have and give yourself a full-time job if you're trying to, you know, record this content and then edit it yourself and then post it yourself, which I see a lot of people do when they get started on socials. And it's, in my opinion, the wrong route to go, especially if you already have a successful business. You need to look at the leverage points, right? And the leverage is on creating effective content that's going to move the needle for you. On the filming side, it's not editing that content or distributing that content.
No, I completely agree. The two editors and a social media manager for that, for everything we do podcasts, yeah, nice. Everything we do social, you just, it's not as expensive as you think. We even actually hire them out through our production company for other people that want to do that, because there's so many people that are trying to create this, but the block is the posting and the editing and all of that. You're talking about like talking head type videos. Are those still effective in 2024? And if so, what is it? Get started, sure. But other tactical or structures for short form content, for talking head content, if it's still a viable option, that people should consider when they're making it for the maximum quality, maximum reach?
Yeah, great question. So talking head is definitely still effective in 2024. And what that means is that's just camera content when you're talking directly to the camera, right? What I find though is talking head is still, it's a little bit more difficult. There's more friction in the filming process of creating talking head content. And that's something, I got this from Gary V, is just you have to learn to remove friction from creating content for it to be sustainable for you, right? And so if you're just getting started, you don't enjoy doing talking head content, don't do talking head content. Like do a mock podcast, you'll enjoy it, right?
And real with quick, before you dive into that, that's interesting. So when you're doing the mock podcast, you're not looking at the camera to be talking head and then have that cut. You're looking at the person. So it's a point of view on that video where you're looking like we are right now, as opposed to in the camera. That's my mistake. I thought you were creating talking head through the medium of somebody asking you questions, but different thing.
Yeah. You don't have to look at the camera whatsoever. We do have the data to show if you have like too much of a side angle, if it's like, if the camera is pointed too much at the side angle of your face and it's not showing enough of your front angle of your face, it doesn't perform as well. So you want to like have a slight angle with the where the camera is positioned when you are talking to someone. But outside of that, you don't need to look at the camera. It's like, you know, 99% of movies, the actors never look at the camera whatsoever. And we just get to like watch it and feel like we're a viewer, like just listening in on the conversations and everything that's happening. So same thing and same effect can happen in your content as well. Yeah. Some other pieces though, if let's say that you get started, and mock podcast is not the only approach here. I'm just using it because I think it's most applicable to your audience and to business owners inside of GoBundance, where in my experience, like business owners, like they love the mock podcast and it's just like easy, seamless for them to do. You can schedule like once or twice in your calendar, just do two hour session each month and you're good to go. And with that said, it still does help to have variety. You do not need to be in a different location in all of your content. But when I'm doing a mock podcast, I'll have like four or five different shirts in like every 30, 40 minutes. I'll just go like grab another shirt. That way it's like, I don't have a full month like wearing the same shirt and all my content, right? So like that's a small tweak. And also you can add variation to your content with B-roll. And when I say you, I mean your editor. And so what one thing that we do with our clients is we call it a camera roll dump, but through the onboard process, we'll have people create a shared photo album in their Photos app on their phone. And then whether it's them or a team member, just go through and add any and all content that you're willing to. And this is not like so many people just keep it like business and it's just pictures and they go out and do like specific content for their socials. Right? But it still is highly effective and works really well. If you just go through your camera roll and put together all the pictures and videos of you with your friends, your family, like hobbies, travel, vacation. And when you do that, and anytime our clients do this, and I'm looking through like these shared camera rolls, I feel like I really get to know them on more of a personal level. And that same effect happens when you're using this in your content, right? And so a lot of people think that they don't have B-roll when they go to their photo album, they have 10,000 pictures and videos. It's like that can be used for B-roll and that adds a lot more of a personal element to your content. And it also adds a lot more variety to your content. So where it doesn't feel like every video looks exactly the same, right? And so that's just some small tweaks that you can use to one, just add, you know, more of that, again, personal element, which strengthens your brand and strengthens more of a relationship with your viewers and audience, but to add variety to where your content isn't very repetitive. And then on the editing side, there's so much that we do that we've learned through generating billions of views. We have a team of now somewhere around 40 editors. A lot of them have done tens to even 100 plus million views in less than 12 months with us. And most of these are on brand new secondary accounts, not even like main accounts that already have millions of followers, which makes it more impressive. But we train with them daily. We have amazing trainings and resources in place. And we follow a lot. We call call it a 2 second rule. Like, we want something engaging, visually engaging happening on screen every 2 seconds, whether that's through captions. Like, we keep captions between 1 to 4 words showing on screen at a time. I see a lot of people, they'll show like 8 to 10 words on screen at a time. And it just shows too much versus if you have 1 to 3 words, they're constantly popping up. And then you can use like effects on the captions. It makes it more visually engaging. You can do zoom effects to where it's zooming in and out. You can do head tracking to where like the video is moving as the viewer's head moves. You can add B-roll to it. And on B-roll, do not use stock footage. Like, we are anti-stock. Everyone, like all these cheap editors do it, and it's just not a good look. We like to use movie scenes and TV scenes that are famous, and there's good softwares out there. I'll have to like send this to you after, but there's websites out there to where your editors can search a keyword or what's happening in the video, and it'll pull up every single movie scene that is applicable to that. And then you can use that as B-roll in your footage and just keep it on brand with who you are. And it helps your content perform better. We have the data to back it up. So there's a lot of tweaks that you can do on the editing side to just improve your results further as well.
Very cool. Let's skip up to Talking Head for a second, because that, now that you delineated that, I appreciate that. Talking Head, you're talking into the camera, into the phone, whatever it might be, right? To make a point or tell a story. I get what the, like you said, the low barrier to entry, the lower amount of friction, like the, somebody's asking me questions, you get that content, you build some B-roll around it, makes a lot of sense. If I am comfortable doing Talking Head, let's say I'm good with that, I'll talk to a camera. It's easy to just talk to a camera, but the formula or the function or what you do in talking to the camera, what should people think about? How should they structure a Talking Head video if it's still effective this time? In this, if it's still effective in 2024, as we talked about.
Absolutely. Yes, it is still effective. The most important part of not only Talking Head, but just content in general, or arguably the most important part, is the hook of the video. And the length of the hook varies depending on the length of the video. A longer form video can have a longer hook, right? But when it comes to short form content, which is what we fully specialize on, let's just call it a 60 second video, the hook is generally the first 3 to 7 seconds. So it's like, what are you saying in that hook? And then visually, what's happening in that hook that makes people curious to want to watch the remainder of that piece of content? That's step one. It's like Mr. Beast, one of the largest YouTubers in the world, just doing insane views. You know, it's like he gets hundreds of millions of views on majority of his videos across the globe. And his content process, every single video starts with the title, right? And so the same process should happen when you're doing Talking Head content. Every video should start with the hook. And the hook is the topic of that video, right? And so a lot of people also are ad hoc with their content creation. We're all about systems. And for this to be sustainable for you as a business owner, you need to batch your content. Instead of like every day, you're like, oh shoot, like got to record a video real quick. Throw a 3-hour block in your calendar on a set day each week or every other week and have preparation going into that 3-hour window. So if you want to do Talking Head content, at the minimum, you should have it mapped out of all the hooks that you're going to be using in your video. We have an incredible resource with hundreds of viral hook frameworks and templates at mediascaling.com/secrets that you can get access to as well. On top of a lot of other like really, really valuable resources. We have a lot of our best stuff in there. And so map out these viral hooks. What I have found when it comes to the most effective Talking Head content, people have the full script written out. It's not required, but it definitely helps. It makes it a more efficient process when you have a short form video fully scripted for Talking Head. And then on top of that, I would say one of the most effective ways of creating lead flow and sales, specifically on Instagram and Facebook today, is using ManyChat. And there are accounts and creators who do this incredibly well. At Toozer, T-O-O-Z-E-R. He's a friend and someone that we're working with. He does an amazing job at this. If you go to his Instagram account, go to the Reels tab, and he had all of his content. It's fully scripted short form videos, and it starts with a great hook, and it has a lot of value to back it up. Embedded somewhere around the middle of the content, I'll use an example. He's an e-com guy and he teaches people how to like hack success in e-com. He's like, let's reverse engineer this e-com store of how they're making millions online. And then he'll preface it and say, anyone can do this. It doesn't matter if you're 15 years old, if you have a Wi-Fi connection, follow these 4 steps. Step one, and then he has great value to back it up. Step two, he has great value to back it up. And he's like, by the way, if you want this free resource, or you want this thing, DM me the word system, DM me the word X, Y, and Z. Or comment the word X, Y, and Z below. And you can have ManyChat set up to where when someone comments on a post, that specific word, or they DM on your story, that specific word, it automatically will DM that person and create a sequence, and you can take them wherever. You can get them access to the resource. And then you can also have prompts through that ManyChat flow just letting them know like, hey, do you want to book a complimentary discovery call with our team? And you'll be shocked at the click-through rate and at the amount of conversions that come from this versus if you're just like, hey, like go to link in bio, click link in bio. There's actually been studies done on this. I think it was HubSpot. I'm going to mess that part up, but there's been extensive studies done on this that shows with Instagram stories specifically, if you have a call to action of click the link in this story versus if you have a call to action of DM me this word, the difference of click-through rate is 20% to 77% of wow. Click this link versus DM me this word. And DM me this word is the 77% on the top end. That's yeah. massive. That's almost a 4X. Right. And so these are really, really effective strategies that you can and should be using on specifically Instagram and Facebook. And then you can use it on other platforms as well. If you have a setter in your DMs, like managing your inboxes, it's just not going to be as automated as what ManyChat allows.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Instagram has that community feel more than some of the other platforms like TikTok, in my opinion. So yeah. It makes sense that you can leverage that. What's another, are there any other strategies from a short form content that as we go into 2024, as we're in 2024, that are wildly popular right now that you think are great ways for creators to maybe make content? Talking Heads an option. I love the low barrier to entry, the fake podcast or mock cast, as you called it. But are there any other strategies that you would recommend for a short form content creator to consider?
Yes, definitely. So again, it comes back to like the most important piece of this is do what is sustainable for you and doesn't involve a lot of friction. If you try a content strategy, but it's not something that you envision yourself doing long-term, or it's not like a sustainable thing for you, that's not the best content strategy versus something that is, right? And so I would say that's the most important point. However, of different types of content available right now, one is on the street content. It's some of the most viral content out there. And so you see it all the time on socials, like someone's on the street in a public area and they're just asking questions to different people. I have a buddy who has a media buying agency and he lives in Miami. He'll go out to like Brickell or downtown and he will just ask random people. He's like, what do you think of this ad? And he'll preface it like, have no opinions. Like, just let me know the first thought that comes to your mind. He'll show them an ad. And he's an advertiser and he's figured out a creative angle. Like that content works really well. The feedback he's getting is great on it. So you can get creative of using on the street content and still have it showcase your expertise and be on brand with you. You don't have to like go out and just ask these crazy questions, and it needs to be on brand, right? And so let me circle back also in 2 Billion View Secrets is our free course that I mentioned earlier. It has the hundreds of viral hooks. We also have a resource in there called our brand identity worksheet. And this is a missing step. I see people have millions of followers and they don't have a clear brand identity mapped out. This is step one with every single person, every brand, when they're creating content on socials, you need a brand identity that showcases who you are, what you stand for, what you talk about, who is your client avatar and audience, what are their pain points and frustrations, what are their motivations and aspirations. And we have that brand identity worksheet that we have at mediascaling.com/secrets. It's an incredible resource. We even have our large clients, 8 figures, already have a big brand. They fill this out and they still get value from it from the workshop perspective. And then our team will study that and it becomes the guiding light of all the other content we create. So step one, create a brand identity. And then from there, you can map out these different content strategies and get creative with, okay, like if I do on the street content, what can I do that still makes it fit within my brand identity? And that's still going to drive results and showcase my expertise. Another content that works really well is reaction content. We see it as one of the more consistently viral content that we post across all of our client accounts in like different niches, different verticals. And that, like, I think the person doing this the best on the internet right now is Brett Cooper on her YouTube channel. She started in, I think it was early 2021. Her YouTube channel is not even 3 years old. And she's already at somewhere around 4 million subscribers. Last I checked, she's gaining anywhere between 150 to 400,000 subscribers per month. All of her content is reaction content. And it's just her reacting to videos. She's a part of Daily Wire, which is like Ben Shapiro and some more like conservative leaning news network, right? And so that's the type of reaction content that she reacts to. It's on like current events and some like, you know, more like left-leaning stuff, and she'll, you know, take stabs at it. But we can still, like, again, brand identity is step one. And then if you go and find it, you shouldn't do it. You should have your team like go and put together a database of reaction or just content out there that is on brand with you. And then you just react to it. Like, and in the reaction, you don't have to watch the video in full before you state any type of opinion or what comes up. You can also pause in the video, like share your thoughts throughout. And then at the end, just give your take. And if you agree with it, awesome. And then just give more reason of why you agree with it and showcase more of your expertise behind that. And then same thing, if you don't agree with it, why do you not agree with it? And then provide more value of why you don't agree with it, right? But it's still a way you can showcase your expertise. And my theory behind why this works so well is, one, you can choose to only react to content that's already gone really viral. And so for me, the litmus is it's had to have already gotten at least 1 million views on that initial piece of content that I'm reacting to. That way I'm already tapping into that proven virality, right? And then secondly, it needs to be on brand. It needs to match my brand identity. Check those two boxes. And it's another way that you don't have to have, the only preparation is having the video to react to. And outside of that, you don't need to prepare for this. You don't need to have a full script written out. Pretty much everyone I know who does it, they enjoy it. It's another like fun way to create content. So I would say those are some big two. You can also do streaming. Right now, AI is a big thing that's coming in the space. We can touch more on that. But from my perspective,
it makes sense. I have a brand coach and he's all over me about man on the street content. But to your point, I live in Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, and that move was like interesting to people. So when I said, all right, I want to build my brand up a little bit. First thing we went through was what you talked about, brand identity. Who are you serving? Who are you talking to? Like, you know, what is it that you do? Like, ah, this is the guy that left a big corporate job and moved to paradise, right? So I want to, you know, inspire that. And so my following grew, went from 8 to 70,000 on Instagram within about 3 or 4 months with really, really focused content on that. And Now we're at a point where it's like talking head and, you know, showing where we are and some news clips, green screen. I'll do some of those, some comedy. That's one of my content pillars because I'm a funny guy. You couldn't tell. So those things are what I do to build to where I am. But he made the point. He's like, listen, you got to get in front of people. I got these little mics, right? Like, hey, what's the number one thing you love about living in Punta Cana? You know, or like meeting people that live here as well, other expats, if you will. So talking head is big. When you talk about reaction videos, besides the virality and being on brand, is there anything else? Because I love reaction videos. I love about reaction videos more than anything is like, it gives you a reason to leverage the dead time that you're putting into social media. In other words, you're already scrolling, right? Mm-hmm. So like, why not like DJ that back out to other people if something catches you on brand that you could say, well, I'm consuming content, not playing with my kids right now. So why don't I use this and create my own content out of it, right? Like you're actually using that time that you're already taking in content. But is there anything else that people need to know, whether it's short form or long form, like platform specific, when creating reaction video content, besides viral content that you're going to react to and on brand, is there anything more, I don't know, strategic, searchable, SEO related, anything like that, that people need to realize is working with reaction videos versus like, hey, I'm doing these reaction videos with viral stuff on politics. That's my brand, but no one's watching it. Is there any kind of connective tissue that's maybe a little bit less obvious or below the radar?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you mentioned trending. Trending is a bonus, but it's not a requirement. And it's something to where there's time urgency with it. So if you're operating in a way it's like, yeah, I only film content twice per month. And then trending content may be a little bit more difficult unless you're willing to, you know, it's like you see a new trend pop up and you create a piece of that content that day, right? There's more time urgency involved. But outside of that, with the reaction content, I would say study accounts that are doing this really well. Ben Shapiro is another one. Brett Cooper, Ben Alistair is another account that does this. I'm incorporating and doing it more on my socials. I just launched my personal brand, so give it time. Already starting to grow pretty well. So yeah, just study the other accounts. So the editing needs to be good on there. And then as you study other accounts doing reaction videos, there's different ways that you can structure it out. Like sometimes, instead of the hook being just the reaction video playing right away, I will preface what's about to happen in the video. Like if it's Tony Robbins talking, I'm like, Tony Robbins is about to break down the 3 secret things that he's found will completely change your life and take control and something like that. And then it'll play the video and you don't have to watch the video in full. You can like pause as the video is playing and like give a quick take and then start resume the video and have it start playing again. So just like study reaction content and see what people are doing that's working really well. I think his name is Chris Connolly. He's just blowing up. He has a lot of videos that are doing 7 million views and 12 million views and 15 million views of him finding Reddit threads and reacting to like horror stories of businesses. And it's like showing like actual messages between like bosses and employees. And
British guy.
Like, yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. I agree with you. He's fascinating. Like to watch him, like, yeah, like the exchange between boss and employee on taking a day off and the boss rescinds the day off and how they react. And he kind of talks about, is that good? Is that bad? And how bad this business is or this company is. Yeah. He's fascinating. Totally. Sorry. Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. That video that you're mentioning right now, I believe that's one of them that got like 12 million views. So he's, you know, taking off on growth. So you can get creative in this. And I would say if you're not seeing results right away, just don't get discouraged. Like social media is not an overnight thing. A lot of the time you will have a winning strategy and it doesn't necessarily show in terms of growth immediately day one, but continue doing it. And obviously you want to be looking at the data and making adjustments, making iterations. I'll touch on that more, but don't get discouraged. If you do something for 30 days, you don't see results. Like keep doing it, be sustainable, be consistent and watch what happens over the course of 3, 6, 9, 12 months. And then going back to the data point, you do want to be looking at data and just one, another big step when you're getting started, you or your team can go out there and create a list of the top 20, 50, 100 accounts and channels who already have your target audience and study them. Study what they're doing. Why is it performing well? How can you emulate that and make it your own from the content strategy, from the hooks they're using, the styles? And they already have a lot of proof, like it's free education of how to build an audience in the community that you want to build as well, right? And also, always study on your own content and other people's content. When you're looking at it, find those videos that are outlier videos. They perform better than average of the rest of them. And then study those, like make a database of it. We have, again, in 2 Billion View Secrets, we have a database of like a ton of this content that totals up to almost 5 billion views of just like the crazy outlier performers. But study that. What is the hook? What's happening in the video? Like, how can you emulate this and make it your own? So now when you're following these steps, you're not just pulling things out of air and it's like, maybe this will work and maybe people want to hear about this. You're going off of proven data and proven strategy that has already performed extremely well, right? And then you're modeling that. So you're giving yourself a big kickstart and a big head start with your content creation.
This guy, Chris Donnelly, to your point, I'm not ignoring him. Like, as you bring up these accounts, I'm looking at it. I remember him at 60,000 followers on Instagram. Like a week ago, it feels like he's at 244,000 all of a sudden. So
he's doing great.
Exploded. Here's a question. Looking at some of his stuff, though, he doesn't get a lot of engagement with the post. It seems like a lot of likes. But let's see. This got 600,000 views. It's got 185 comments and 9 shares. Is that a miss in any way, or are shares and comments and all of that not something you need to really think about?
It all comes together as far as what is looked at from the algorithm to push content further. But it's no longer like you need a lot of likes, or you need a lot of X, Y, and Z. You need a lot of this one thing for a video to perform really well. The algorithm takes a lot of factors into play, such as watch time. It's like, how much, what is the average watch time on your video? What is the retention rate? Like, how long is people on average looking at it before they keep scrolling? Shares is a big one. Is your content shareable? You know, if it's something, we have a checklist of 22 things that we follow for our content review and doing just like QC, quality control with our content and training with our editors. And one of them is like, would you share this with a friend? Would you share this with someone? So shareability is a huge one. If the answer is yes, you may have a really great piece of content. But yeah, it's like you don't necessarily have, like I see videos that do really well that surprisingly don't have a lot of comments. And then sometimes I see videos with a lot of comments that weirdly enough don't have like a huge amount of views that you would typically see on those. So there's like Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and TikTok, all the platforms, they have actual, you know, public articles stating how their algorithm works and the factors that they weigh into just pushing content more.
I'm looking at some of, do you ever hear of Gino the Ghost? Do you ever hear of that account? Another reaction video account that's starting to blow up. He's kind of snarky. He's a musician or a writer, musical writer. There's a phrase for it I can't think of. He's in your neck of the woods in LA or in Southern California. Okay. But he pulls up these, what he calls entrepreneur bros. It could be Alex Hormozy because he gets a lot of viral stuff, or, you know, anything they say that's like, you got to grind and work. He just sort of responds in this really snarky deadpan way. And I'm looking at him, he's blowing up. And on the shares thing, I'm looking at like so some of my stuff, like this was like 2-3 videos ago. This one got about 104,000 views, but it was shared about 3,600 times, liked about 3,200 times. I go for shares, but I don't know if that's the right, like you said, it's not like one thing. It's how long are people watching and all of that stuff. But if I'm going for shares, what's the, besides obviously other people seeing it, I don't know, is there any sort of data around conversion for highly shareable videos for a business owner? Or no?
I would say like, I don't have a direct solid answer to that. It just comes down to making great content. And then what does that mean? It's a vague statement, right? But it could, like, great content is a lot of what we talked about, just a good hook adds value that, and value comes, I look at it as two buckets, entertainment and education. Yeah, and then the best content mixes both of those together. But both, like, something doesn't have to be valuable just from an informational side. It can also be valuable just because it's an entertaining piece of content. But do you have a good hook? Is it a value-based piece of content that a lot of people would enjoy and therefore share with others or want to watch it multiple times or save that video? So it's foundations and principles, really.
You talked about secondary accounts a little bit ago. What is that? And how does that fit into the strategy for somebody who might be looking to grow their following, grow their views?
Yeah. So that's really the core offer that built Media Scaling and a big part of us generating, you know, billions of views at this point. We create secondary accounts is what we call them for larger creators. And the requirement for this is we just look for people that have a larger content database of existing content already for us to go off of, generally like 20 to 50 hours, and also at least 2 million plus in annual revenue. That shows us that they have, at the minimum, proven offer, proven acquisition systems, proven fulfillment. And therefore, if we come in and run the strategy, all we do is we maximize and amplify what they're currently doing. And so if they check those boxes, one, we have enough content to do this with. And then two, if they have proven offer, it's highly likely they're going to make more money if we just come in 5, 8, sometimes 20x in the first 90 days, the amount of views and exposure they're getting. So with the secondary accounts, what it is, a lot of people call it the Andrew Tate strategy. He's really who pioneered this, right? But he had an army of affiliates through his Discord community that created all these secondary accounts of Andrew Tate sharing and posting his content, and then went from widely unknown to the most Google man on the planet in less than 5 months. And it's not, secondary accounts was not the only reason that happened, but it was a huge reason that happened. And the distribution model of how he was able to flood socials and take it over, right? And so we will go in with creators, personal brands, podcasts, and just brands in general now, and create a big network of all these secondary accounts, take the content database, and we'll plug in an entire team, essentially a media division of editors, social media managers, team lead, copywriter, et cetera, and take all the content from their long form content and just content in general from the database they have and turn it into top quality, the very important top quality short form edits, then distribute it out across all these secondary accounts, such as like Tony Robbins Reels, Tony Robbins Clips, Best of Tony Robbins, so on and so forth. And per client, we're posting 1,800 to 4,200 times per month. When you do that level of volume with top quality, it creates a massive amount of new reach. A lot of posts go viral and we funnel everything back. Like, we use all the edits we create inside of the edits themselves through watermarks and through animations and text that comes up. We can have call to actions that are like, you know, promoting specific things or just like going to follow the main socials. We can use in captions and pinned comments. We can embed like call to actions in tasteful ways inside of the stories across all the accounts, the bios, the links to bios. Like, there's a lot that we do to take all this new reach, new exposure, and funnel it back somewhere. Majority of the time, it's their main socials, because that's where the majority of trust and authority is. So we find the best success of taking all this new reach and taking it back to the client's main socials. And then that's where they, you know, continue their conversion strategies and turn all that new audience growth and follower growth and subscriber growth into sales and results. But additionally, you know, we're getting creative and starting to do this with a lot of brands now too. Like, there's a sports betting platform that we are talking with right now. And we are potentially going to create a full network of all these secondary accounts and just post a lot of sports highlights, which do incredibly well, and then use all those videos and the accounts as vehicles to drive back to their sports betting platform. And we're doing it for a charity right now. We're doing it for another AI platform. So this works with brands also, not just personality based, when you get creative with the type of content. But yeah, that's the secondary account network and what we do.
So what I'm hearing, there's nothing paid. You're not paying for any, you're just, people are paying you to create a whole bunch of content across a whole bunch of secondary accounts, but there's no paid leads, no paid ads, nothing like that. No, none of your, all of your reach, all of your following, all of the eyes are organic, which is great. Is this a core strategy for a podcaster? It feels like a Chris Williamson or a Stephen Bartlett, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to almost organically, like, other people get so much value out of Chris Williamson's takes that they end up on all these secondary platforms. But is this the sort of thing where podcasts get virality? It's like, you got 40 secondary accounts, they all lead back to their YouTube, Is that how that works?
Yes. So it's not like all the biggest podcasts are incorporating the strategy. That's something that has been awesome with media scaling. So this is our core offer. Like what the offer is, we guarantee top personal brands, podcast creators up to 150 million views in the first 90 days working with us. It's a results-based guarantee. So if we don't hit the guaranteed view count by the 90-day mark to where we can confidently guarantee it, we work for free until we do up to an additional 90 days. And then we have 100% fulfillment rate of doing it within, like there's two people we've missed the mark on the 3 month, 90 day mark. And we usually will hit it by month four on those two circumstances. But outside of that, it's like, we do this with everyone. And it's not like every big podcast is doing this, but podcasts that are doing it are becoming the biggest ones and growing really fast because it's an amazing opportunity available right now that hasn't been available in previous years that can help you just take things to the next level. We have a client, Dropouts Podcast. We are about to be at month five with them. And I looked at their tracker yesterday. We were at 596 million views in the first 5 months with them, which has been insane. Like their audience has over doubled in that time frame. And the 90 days prior to working with them, they did about 7 million views across all their accounts. The 90 days after, we closed out, I don't remember the exact number, but it was somewhere in the ballpark of 270 million views. So it was like over a 20X in the first 90 days. And generally with our clients, when we incorporate this strategy, we are somewhere in the ballpark of like a 5 to 20X within the first 90 days doing this. And then the longer you do it, the more it grows and the more it snowballs because all of these secondary accounts, we create them from scratch. So the audience started zero. And month one is going to be a little bit slower going. Month two, month three is where momentum and traction really picks up. Social media is not linear. It's exponential in its growth. So it does compound. And we see results many times like 3 to 8X from 1 month to the next. And you just keep doing this longer and longer. Over time, our goal with all of our clients is depending on like their content type and their market size. Some people are very niche, but overall, our goal is to get our clients to doing over 100 million views per month in the first 3 to 6 months. It's realistic. We've done it now five times and are on track to continue to do it more and more with more people. So we've even had months where we do over 200 million views in a month across all these secondary accounts. So it becomes massive the longer you do it.
I'm curious what the uptake percentage is. So if you have a podcast, I have a podcast and we've gotten decent reach, 170,000 views last month. Awesome. But we want to get more and more and bigger, right? So if I'm going to implement this strategy and I get 100 million views, you create 100 million views for me across these secondary accounts for Tribe of Millionaires, as an example, what should I, or what's the data telling you I should expect as far as how many of those eyes end up as new subscribers or new views on our core YouTube or audio podcast platform?
Yeah, good question. So with our clients, we will typically choose a preferred platform as well. Majority of the time it is YouTube or Instagram, or if it's a podcast, it's either YouTube or it's like Apple Podcasts or one of their listening platforms. And so we will add like call to actions. The majority of the call to actions we do throughout the content in the accounts is focused on pushing it back to that preferred platform. And then we'll have it as links and bios, and then also just mentions inside of the edits with the text overlays and et cetera, et cetera. As far as data and results go, it does vary a good bit case by case, depending on just the content itself, right? Like some people are more niche and expertise focused, and so they get less views, but there's a higher throughput of views to audience growth because they're just so unique and so niche, right? And then other people are more mass with their approach and what they talk about, or if it's just entertainment based, and some there's a lower throughput, but you get a lot more views. And so the growth is still larger. And it'll vary, but you have, you know, case studies and results. Like the flagship case study of how media scaling came to be was my business partner, Spencer Murphy, worked internally with Iman Ghazi and built the secondary network for Iman, who like a lot of people in the business space now know him. Spencer built that division, built the network, and hired the full team and ran that internally with Iman for 9 or 10 months. And in the first 4 months, they generated 449 million views. After the first year of doing this, Iman's primary YouTube channel grew from 340,000 subscribers to 3.5 million subscribers. And it's continuing to gain anywhere between 130 to 390,000 new subscribers per month. And there's a direct correlation. If you go on socialblade.com, you look at the analytics of Iman's main YouTube, it's like as soon as the secondary network account went live, it exponentially spiked up, started to really take off. We see results generally when we start to hit around like 50 to 50 million plus views per month, like things become catabolic. And especially when we're at 100 million views per month, audience growth across the board, our clients are growing hundreds of thousands of followers and subscribers per month. And, you know, it like trickles down from there.
Interesting. And then from that point, yeah, the trickle down would be you have embedded ads for your product or service or whatever. More eyes are on it. More people are going to, you know, take up your free offer of download this or whatever, which gets you in the funnel. Your list builds, you nurture that list and you sell. It's depending on the size of the product and the cost of the product. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, I mean, I like simple, right? And so it just comes down to like, let's get way more reach, way more views on what you do. And then from there, let's figure out the most optimal strategies to drive it to results.
Got it. You mentioned AI a bit ago. So if I'm a creator and I'm saying, hey, you know, this is all great, hiring an editor, like it's not really, it's like more of a side thing. It's going to be out of my pocket. So I want to limit my cost. Now, I'll be honest. When I look at AI editing software today, I don't think we're there. Not for quality, right? Like, yeah, sure, it'll do the job. You could dump a long form video into a system. It'll spit out 8 pieces of short form content. So cool, but they all suck. Is that just bad AI that I'm looking at? Or is AI advanced enough to this point where AI is a solution people can use for high quality short form content?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is the leading platform is Opus Clips. And that's where you're supposed to like upload a long form video and AI will automatically take a bunch of shorts out and it's supposed to be great edits. It's definitely not there yet. I think it's an amazing concept and I think it will be there in the coming years, but not there yet. And we have like all of our edits, when we're doing 1800 to 4200 posts per month to that 1800, 4200 posts per month. We have full team of editors who do this. And there's a night and day difference. Like AI alone cannot beat an editor. It's not even close currently. But where you can use AI is all the top editing platforms, they have a lot of AI features that it really improve and increase the efficiency of your editors using it. So they have a lot more output, right? And then additionally, we do still create AI content. We have what we call experiment posts. And a lot of them is using, sometimes we'll have like the AI voices that you hear very commonly on social platforms. And it'll just be saying a script and then it'll have our clients B-roll playing as visuals throughout the script, but it's like AI. So that's not even a piece of content that our client had to make, right? And we're posting that on their main socials and their secondary socials, as long as it's on brand with them. And additionally, AI generated content, it is getting there. So the leading platform for making an AI clone of yourself to where it's technically like Jamie in the content, right? But it's not actually you. It's heygen.com, H-E-Y-G-E-N. And if you have the premium subscription in there, it's damn near like, I know people who are creating content with HeyGen for their socials and you can't tell it's AI. It looks like it's legit them. And the big part is you just need a good script writer because you have to feed it a script. So it still is like if you hire a good copywriter or script writer and then have a system or framework in place, they can feed it and create content for you and you're like hands off or just reviewing the scripts. And it's very realistic. And the more that you feed it, the better it gets. So that's a huge one that's coming and it's already here to a degree. Like there are accounts out there that are posting HeyGen AI clone content and you cannot tell. It's not actually them. And it's continuing. It's continuing to progress. But as far as like your initial note on just like feeding a software like Opus, your long form video, and then it taking a bunch of short form clips, we're definitely not there yet. AI progresses at a faster rate than any technology we've ever seen. So I don't know exactly when it'll be here. Who knows? It could be a couple of years, could be sooner, but it's not there yet.
What's the play monetization wise for the creator who wants to be a creator, who doesn't have a business backend per se, right? Maybe they've got an event they host or something like that, but they want a podcast and they want to make money as a podcaster. That's honestly like, that would be a dream for me to be at a point where I don't have to have a product to sell at the end of it, that I could just, I love the art of podcasting. So how do I, what's the best route by, you know, I'm in media scaling, I get all these views and boom, it blows up. Am I just YouTube monetization? Are there other platforms I need to think about? Like what's the best way for a creator to leverage what you do or to leverage scale and views to make money just as a creator?
Great question. So when it comes to creators specifically, no matter what, you will make the most money when you own something that you can sell to your audience, right? And if you're only relying on AdSense alone, it's the most inefficient way to monetize and make money from socials. It just is. Versus if you had AdSense there, but you also had something to sell. And then the larger creators, like merch was a huge thing in like 2016 to 2019. Now every creator out there has merch and like no one makes money from it. It's dated, you know, but the creators now that are really crushing it and have something to sell, they're creating actual products. Like Mr. Beast has Feastables. He had Beast Burgers. I don't think it's working out for him too well. Logan Paul has Prime, like the Nelk Boys have the Happy Dad beer drinks. And there's just a long list of more and more of these. And so if you have some type of product to sell, you can find their companies who they specialize in partnering with creators and they handle all the business and all the product. Then you're just the face and you help push and promote more traffic to it. That's an interesting route to go. On top of that, Patreon is huge. Like right now, building community, it's a buzzword. It's a trend. Like everyone wants to build community. With Patreon, like you're building your own exclusive community there. And it's more so based around like, hey, support. And then you can add a lot of benefits on the back end, such as exclusive content. You can do giveaways in there, like maybe once per week, one someone has the opportunity to hop on FaceTime with you if you're a big creator, so on and so forth. There's a lot of ways you can get creative with it. But Patreon, like with some of our clients, the main ways they monetize and make money as a creator is Patreon, brand sponsorship deals, and AdSense. They absolutely crush with all three of those together. When you start to get a lot of views and a lot of reach, you can sign really big brand deals who want to just place their brand and product, whether you're doing ads or it's just product placement in your content itself. And you can make significant money doing that. 7, 8, sometimes 9 figures. I think it was Aiden Ross. I forget the platform. They just paid him over $100 million to be like the face of, I think it's another sports betting platform. Then Patreon is huge. And then AdSense, like YouTube ads is always there. TikTok creativity is another good AdSense resource that is here today. It's, you know, what I've learned with all the platforms and paying ads is like, it fluctuates a lot. And TikTok creativity, a lot of people are making money on it right now, but it's, I don't know. I would be surprised if it's here 1, 2, 3 years down the road, right? So like,
I know creators are making $10,000-$20,000 a month on Reels at one point, and then they just poof, it went away. You know, it was gone. So
overnight, it goes away. Yeah. Snapchat had like Snapchat shows in the creator program. They still do, but just recently they just cut it down from like a 50-50 rev share to 70-30 and sometimes even like 75-25. You know, just people's income like more than drops just overnight. But yeah, TikTok creativity is another one that if you are based in the US, you have an account with more than 10,000 followers on TikTok, and if you post content that is over 1 minute, it can get monetized. And I know people who are doing really well right now. TikTok Shop is another, like people are making stupid money with TikTok Shop. And when it comes to e-commerce, the future of commerce is through socials. TikTok Shop is leading the charge right now and just paying people out insane amounts, which is pretty awesome. I know people who have followings of tens of thousands on TikTok and they're not even in the content and they're just like showcasing products in their content. And they'll have a video that gets 2 million views and they make $100,000 on that video because it's like promoting a supplement. There's a lot of ways that you can get creative, but it's more so, you know, relying on what the platforms offer to you. And then the brand deals and the Patreon on the back end are the two main monetization vehicles that we see. If you don't want to like have your own offer, your own brand, your own product that you sell.
Fascinating. All right. One quick aside, Rumble, is that a real here to stay monetization platform? I know it's skews more conservative, kind of the anti-YouTube, but I keep hearing about it. What's his name? Russell Brand, when he got demonetized on YouTube, went all Rumble, right? So is Rumble a platform on your radar or is it too niche, too small right now?
We'll see. I mean, views, I don't see significant views on there. And it's more so like people are not necessarily going on Rumble and growing an audience. What I see is big creators who have an audience and they get demonetized, they go to Rumble and then their core like biggest fans follow them there, you know. But outside of that, I don't see creators like going viral and blowing up and like building a huge presence on Rumble. It's not there yet. Maybe that changes, maybe it doesn't. We've seen a lot of fly by night social media platforms. It's hard to like have staying power, but I'm not discounting them. I'm not saying that they won't make it. Just right now, I don't think it's necessarily like a top platform that you can go on and just build a massive audience overnight and really take advantage of. We're not seeing that on our side.
What are you looking at in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I'm asking you to, I guess, pull one out. So, you know, a year ago, you mentioned, I've heard you talk about Snapchat had this 50-50 feature and it's kind of going away. Are there platforms you have your eye on? Are there mediums or types of content that seem to be maybe like, you know what, it's not quite the, you mentioned the talking head or the reaction video yet, but this one's starting to get a little steam. I'm sure you're always looking and keeping an eye on things. Is there anything that's on your radar? And you can take that as broadly as you want, whatever that might mean to you. That you're looking at is keep an eye on this. This is something that might in the next 6, 12, 18, 24 months become the next thing. Platform, content style, whatever it might be. The key to life, it isn't money. It's happiness. And when you measure how happy you are, you actually become even more happy. Our friends at GoBundance, the tribe of millionaires, use a very specific tool to measure their happiness. It's called the Life Happiness Index. And you can have it too. Go over to GoBundance.com/LHI and take your Life Happiness Index assessment. You'll rate yourself in multiple categories on exactly how happy you are and get a custom output for you specifically that you can use in developing whatever goals you have for your life. GoBundance is the tribe of healthy, wealthy, generous people who choose to live epic lives. And the tool GoBundance members use at the base of all of that is the Life Happiness Index. Get out there and grab life big.
Yeah, to me, it's obvious. It's the AI generated content. It's like, hey, Jen, AI clones. And it's not even like a clone of your real self. There's already a lot of accounts that are fully AI. It's not a real person whatsoever. And they have a huge following. Like, that is going to continue to grow. I saw a clip recently and he used the analogy. He's like, a lot of people, it's ego thinking that people only want to follow people. He asked the question, it's like, do you like SpongeBob? The answer is yes. SpongeBob is not a real person. Like, that's an animation cartoon. Like, there is going to be more AI accounts and AI influencers that continue to just grow massive followings. The technology is getting better rapidly. And so I'm really curious to see how the landscape changes and what happens. It's an opportunity and a problem. Like, the social media platforms are going to need to figure out how can they differentiate from AI generated content from real content. And it's going to be a constant battle from here on out, because AI is getting so good that you just can't tell, right? And so if it's like, we can't tell, how can the algorithm, the platform tell? You know, it's something that they're focused on and working on, but we're going to start to see, it's already to the point, it's like, you shouldn't always believe what you see on social media. It's like, AI is already coming in and very slyly taking over, and a lot of content is AI generated. And we're just like at the, you know, starting grounds, you know, first step on the moon type of thing with it. And it's not even anywhere close to what it will be in even this year in 2024.
Yeah. From a scalability standpoint, a lot of people want to use like a Hootsuite scheduler or something like that to blast their content out to all platforms. Does it matter? Good move. I've heard, you know, platforms want you to be kind of organic post directly, or does that matter at all at this point?
It does matter. So we don't use third-party scheduling tools like Hootsuite or Sprout Social, Later, Buffer at all. We've seen worse data and analytics with it. And there's a theory side and there's also a fact side. I'll start with the theory. The theory is, if you put yourself in the shoes of the platforms, they make money through ads primarily, and therefore they want people on their platform, like, using it, engaging with it, and, you know, watching ads. And so Hootsuite and these other third-party tools are all ways to get around not ever having to even be on the platform. There's still some incentives, like, you're still feeding the platform more content that other people can watch. We just don't see as good of results. And so that's part of the theory side. The fact side is they're missing a lot of features, all of them. There's not one third-party scheduling tool that has like all the features available versus if you use the actual native platform, right? And all the platforms, they push new features. They want you using them. Like, when Instagram Reels first came out, there was like almost a 6-month delay of the scheduling tools even allowing you to post the Instagram Reel. That's six months. You missed out on massive opportunity if you're just relying on these third-party scheduling tools. And then we are even seeing data that shows if we post content, our social media managers post content from iPads and phones, we see better results than posting from desktop. So it's like, even as granular as that, because there are, if you look at it from like the interface side of the platforms, it's different interfaces of desktop versus mobile, and 80-90% plus of the users are on their phones, right? And so things are optimized around mobile and around phones. It's not just us. We've talked to other people who have seen better data and better results, like publishing their posts from phones as well. So it's all these like small 1% incremental tweaks and improvements. We have a saying, small hinges swing big doors, right? But we just like the small 1% incremental improvements, they stack up.
When you look at these platforms, this is just my take. When you look at these platforms as something to get like throw your shit on, I think that's where third-party scheduling comes in, right? You know, let me just get this out there. Like, oh, I create social, I create stuff. But if you look at each one, like I primarily I'm an Instagram guy because there's a community element to it. It's a DM culture, right? People like to engage back and forth. You know, there's the comments and all that, but really a lot of people like to engage through DMs, and I engage a lot in DMs. TikTok, I kind of ignored for a bit, and I started to put like the quicker funny videos on there, kind of being respectful, I guess, of that platform. And I'm all of a sudden I went from everything got 200 views to like 20,000, 1700, that kind of thing, with this more shorter form relevant to that platform. And even later at night, because it seems like people patronize that later at night. So it's almost like you have to know each platform. And if you're doing this blast wide thing, it's almost like if you want 12 different businesses to understand what you're all about, it's like you go outside, you just kind of throw a bunch of flyers at the business doors that they're all next to each other, as opposed to going into the bar later, because that's when it's open, and talking to that business owner about specifically what it is about what you do for this bar, and then going into the flower shop during the day, right? Like, you have to kind of have a respect, and that sounds weird, for each of the platforms, not because of who they, like, I know people get weird about like Meta, big bad tech, not the tech, but the people in it. The people that are patronizing it, right? Like if you want reach or you want virality, I'm learning this. Each platform has its own community, its own culture, its own, I don't know, group of people to respect, different ways of interacting, different ways of doing it. So I know there's the like popular, like just throw it on everything and you do, but when you do, how you do, all of that stuff native to the platform makes a lot of sense to me. So any final thoughts on any of that before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I agree and also disagree. I agree in the sense that you will definitely get better results if you are optimized per platform and like following the trends and what's working best that are platform specific. But it goes back in my mind of like friction and sustainability. Mm-hmm. And if you're creating different content for every platform, like you are a content creator. That's probably your full-time job and what you're doing the most, because it's a lot of work and effort that goes into that. And so, you know, we have a lot of experience working with business owners. Like most of GoBundance is business owner community, and we need to remove friction. And also the type of content that we focus in on, it works on all platforms. And so that is what we've been talking about. Talking head, podcast style content, like interviews on the street, reaction videos, it works on all platforms. And our methodology is, it is a fact that is undisputable. If you post a short form video you create on one platform versus the seven platforms I listed earlier, you will get more views and you will get more reach if you post it on seven platforms, right? And we are now to the point we're posting over 10,000 times a month across our clients, and we have videos go viral literally every day. When I say go viral, get over 1 million views. And more often than not, when we have a video go viral, that video will perform like average or still like, you know, pretty good on other platforms. Let's say on YouTube, it'll perform average and get 5,000 views. But then on TikTok or on Facebook, it gets 4 million views. And we never know like what platform it's going to hit on. And so if we weren't posting across all platforms, like that's 4 million views we just missed out on, right? If we weren't also posting and omnipresent across all platforms. So my methodology is, unless you're a full-time content creator and all you do is create content, then just create short form content at the least that works across all platforms and post it on all platforms. You should not do it yourself. Again, that's a full-time job, but it's really easy. Like we have our short form mastery program that gives and teaches the systems to where it's like when you have the system and you have a team member to do this for you, they can and should post across all platforms. And you'll be surprised. Like sometimes videos will really take off on the ones you didn't expect, like Facebook or Snapchat or LinkedIn or X, or like slept on for short form content.
Interesting. Logan, where can people learn more about what you're doing, media scaling, all of that?
Yeah. So mediascaling.com is our homepage website. Just list out what we do. And then we also have 2 billion view secrets that I've mentioned. It has an hour and a half of some of our best stuff. Like you will get value from it. We have a lot of free resources in there as well. We give away a lot. And then it's like, hey, if you want to work with us further, awesome. But if not, you can take it and run with it. And there's a ton of value in there. That's at mediascaling.com/secrets. And then I'm across all socials. We talk about omnipresent, so gotta live it. Again, just started the personal brand, give it some time. But I'm at Logan Forsyth across all social platforms.
Beautiful. Not the baseball player. That's you, right? You're not the baseball player. Yeah. Got it. I've seen him. So appreciate you, man. Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me on.